Welcome to the Plugged In Podcast by Sweetwater. I'm your host, Mitch Gallagher. We've got another great episode for you to check out today. We'll be sitting down with Frederick Brun, co-founder and CEO of Arturia, who traveled all the way from Arturia's headquarters in Grenoble, France, to visit us here at Sweetwater. Frederick started out as a violinist, but was intrigued by the possibilities offered by music software. He's led the company to introduce many fantastic products, from their first virtual synth, Storm, to their latest Astrolab, which is just being announced as we release this podcast. Now, I've had the opportunity to visit Frederick and Arturia in Grenoble, and I can tell you that the entire company is driven by a true passion for creating amazing tools and instruments for musicians. And Frederick certainly embodies that passion. Thanks so much for joining us for the Plugged In Podcast by Sweetwater. Settle in, and let's get started. So, Frederick, great to have you here at Sweetwater.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
It's great to be here. Your first time to the campus, correct?
No, I've come maybe 14 years ago for a product called Origin.
That's right.
Very ambitious synthesizer back then. And yes, happy to be back. Things have grown, evolved, and beautiful.
It's a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly. Let's call it this way.
It was quite a hike from where you were. You were in the training center, correct? Getting ready for the morning meetings.
Yes, exactly. So you know, it's a large screen. It's a lot of things to be ready for. But yeah, it's exciting. Everybody's very professional. It's very exciting.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I'm glad to have you here. Last time I saw you, we were actually in Grenoble.
Yes, you're right.
At your headquarters, and you even hosted us for a dinner at your house.
It was fantastic. That's true. Yeah, I remember that. It was a good night. Good evening. Yeah.
It was a very good evening. Yeah. So take us back to the early days. How did you get started doing this, and how did the company really get started?
Well, actually, it's actually two of us. So it's my friend Gilles and myself, and we were the two of us students at the university in Grenoble. So Gilles was studying computer science, I was studying physical chemistry, and eventually he went to IRCAM, which is a research institute in Paris, and there he started working on a piece of software that was allowing to connect modules like oscillators, filters, etc. And this is the time I started studying law. So I have a law degree also in France, La Sorbonne. And the two of us eventually thought that we could do something. And Gilles wanted to venture, you know, and create a solution for musicians to really make music and democratize music production. At the time, studios were still very expensive, hard to master and understand, etc. Mm-hmm. And this is how the two of us, with this sort of business on one side and technical view on the other side, started Arturia in 1999, actually.
Yeah, the late 90s. So are you a musician?
Yeah, I was, actually, I must say, I was a violinist, so I started very early when I was six. And until I was 22, I was playing chamber music in the end. I did a small tour in the USA with an orchestra. I was playing in this orchestra when I was 16. So yeah, very good memories of that. And Gilles was an oboe player and a conductor of the orchestra.
Oh, interesting. Interesting that the two of you went from more classical background, more classical instruments and music into a lot more electronic side of things.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it took me years to really understand what that meant, really. It was not easy. I remember not even understanding what a synthesizer was, really, at first. You know, to me, synthesis was more a summary of things. And Gilles, you know, got me to understand that it was more like a sort of chemistry approach to making sounds that you will, you know, generate out of nothing, in a sense. So that was really interesting, and the journey was really interesting to take along Gilles. So, you know, he's the one who got the first idea, and eventually we're there.
Yeah, well, that had to be exciting. I think the first time we met was at the first NAMM show Arturia exhibited at.
2000, yes. That's the year we were in the basement. We came with this product Storm, which was a virtual studio, and we had this big sign written, "Time for a new paradigm." And some people came and said, "What do you mean by paradigm?" And we said, "You know, a new way to do things. We think things are going to change." And eventually they did. You know, a lot, you know, went onto the computer, as we all know, and a lot of companies took part in this change. We were one of them, and lucky enough to see that early on. So we'll take a share.
Yeah. So from the first product, from Storm, then of course many products have come since. But an interesting sort of side development from that is the V collection and the instruments that make that up, based on historic and classic synthesizers and analog instruments and the true analog technologies. Talk a little bit about how you got into recreating those vintage instruments.
Well, you know, we had Storm, and we really wanted to make that a central solution for beginners to embrace music creation. And eventually, we realized after some point that we could not do that really well with these products. There were also, you know, good competitors like Reason back then and others. So for some time, we had had an engineer who was really very strong, and he started working on different algorithms. And for 1 year, he was just away working on that. We had no idea of management back then. I'm not sure we'll do that today. We were not asking anything from him. You know, we were like maybe six in the company. Still, this guy was just on his own developing algorithm on his side. And eventually that ended up being the start of TAE, true analog emulation, which is a set of algorithms that we keep maintaining and growing and evolving. And that's a way to really reproduce as accurately as we can the analog behavior of circuitry. So you really have some of the characteristic of these analog sounds that is really unique that we have been working on for many years. Mm-hmm. And this is what we brought into our first software instrument, the Moog Modular, that we worked on with Bob Moog. And I remember, you know, going to Asheville, presenting him the Moog Modular V, him very surprised with the number of voices of polyphony, even if back then there were not so many.
Right.
But he was like, you know, can you do that on the computer? And we, you know, and we worked on it. He showed us different things on the circuitry. And that's how we came out with Moog Modular thing in 2003.
Mm-hmm. Right. And since then, of course, so many classic instruments and pianos and all kinds of fantastic things that now you can get separately, or in the V collection, of course, brings them all together and at version 9 of that.
Yes, exactly. V collection is at version 9. So it's still the classic synthesizers, but it's now also electric pianos, organs, pianos themselves. And we've got, you know, modern synthesizer like Pigments, for example. And we have recently added the Augmented Series, which is a merge of sample-based acoustic instruments with synthesis, and trying to make an interesting instrument out of that. So, you know, it's grown into a larger set of instruments over the years.
Yeah, right. And the family's also expanded to include controllers that, of course, will work with any instruments, but are particularly well-suited for the V collection instruments.
Yes, exactly. That's the idea. I mean, we really believe that the tight integration between controllers and software empowers the musician and makes that an ideal solution, because you get best out of both worlds, the software and the hardware. So we have tried to really sort of bridge this gap and make sure that the integration was really right. And with the new generation of Keylabs and MeLab, it's really, really, really awesome. You know, the way you can control and really have this experience which is continuous from software to hardware. So yes, we have a collection now of different controllers that work well with any piece of software, but really particularly well with ours.
Yeah, it really becomes almost a separate instrument itself, because there's such tight integration that it's almost a hybrid of the computer and the controller, almost become one thing as you're playing them.
Exactly, that's the goal, that's the idea. And actually our first product was called Analog Factory Experience, because it was made on the Analog Factory software, but we wanted to offer the same experience as a true synthesizer, but with a merge of a controller and a piece of software. So it was really this combination making one instrument, and this one unique experience of playing like on a true historical hardware synthesizer. That was the first one. And we keep this philosophy. We've kept that for years.
Yeah, right. And expanded that also with the beat steps and some of the drum controllers and percussion programming and those kind of things too.
Exactly. So those are really a view on how you can merge controllers and sequencers, because a lot of people want to play electronic music, for example. They want to go on stage, but they don't want to have a sequencer on board a computer to do that. So they needed something to, you know, control but also sequence their gear. So BeatStep was the first of them. Then we had BeatStep Pros and KeyStep, and now KeyStep Pro. And they are really a great way to control gear and perform, really, and bridging gaps, again, between production and performance, between analog and digital as well.
Right. Yeah, that whole experience of being able to perform, I really like that word, of being able to perform with the software.
Exactly.
Because you have that hands-on experience with the hardware as well. It really is a great combination. But you've expanded the hardware even past that. And I think everyone was surprised a few years ago when you came out with an audio interface.
Yeah, that's true.
I've been working on that as well.
Yeah, it's been also a journey. We had software, so we needed to get the sound out of the computer. And at the same time, we had hardware, we had gear, we had hardware synthesizer like the MIDI-Brute, for example, and we had to get the sound into the computer from these pieces of hardware. So we thought we will do our own take on what an interface could be. That's the Audio Fuse. That's the first one we made.
Mm-hmm.
With more control, with much more connectivity, with a different set also of features like different speakers you can try, etc., on board. It's very small and high quality audio interface. And then we built a couple of other ones. There's actually one coming very soon that you're going to be discovering, the AudioFuse 16 rig. And we're going to be coming along more. But we have also built a lower-end range of audio interface called MiniFuse, starting at $99 with higher audio quality for this larger audience as well to access.
Right, yeah. What's always impressed me with the interfaces is, first of all, the sound quality is fantastic with the interfaces. But as you mentioned, the amount of connectivity that you pack into a very small package and the number of options that are built in for controlling things is, I don't know too many other interfaces that really offer that much in that small of a package.
You're right. I'm not sure there is one.
Yeah.
But it's been challenging. But it, we really wanted to free the musician from any question on whether or not they will have the right connection at the right time. So we put a lot of things into it, and people like that. It works.
Yeah, sure. Well, they're a tremendous value, but they also give you so much capability, and it really completes that ecosystem of having the hardware controller, the software instruments, and then the audio interface. Actually, what completes it is the other side of your modeling, which is the effects processing that you've been working on lately.
Yeah, great transition. Thank you. Journey throughout the range is actually the right one. You're true. It's we had these audio interfaces where we were trying to offer maximum clarity. And at the same time, we thought we also need to, work on the signal identity, in a sense, to really offer a way to explore how, you could have sonic evolutions toward your signal and how you could, through effects, go further. So this is why we eventually venture into software effects as well. This is something I'd resisted for years. I thought we had to focus more on instruments. And even at that point, I thought, okay, it's probably time for us to get there and also have our own effects to embed with our interfaces and also bring to the market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So you've really have completed the whole production tools, if you will, and instruments for creating music from the ground up, which is fantastic. And speaking of instruments, we've been hearing rumors about something new that's on the way. And actually, by the time you hear this podcast, those of you who are listening, there'll be something new from Arturia. Tell us what we're talking about.
Well, actually, as you know, we went through many of our products, and you see that in most cases, we have tried to resolve issues for customers, like many, of course, of our friends and competitors in the markets. That's a very natural attitude for any manufacturer. We've tried sometimes to do that through innovation, looking at things a different way, like we did with the steps, merging sequencer and controllers. In other ways, when we got back to analog synthesizers, we knew it was a different kind of attempt. And we've done that also through software. And here we're looking at the performer, the keyboardist who is on stage. And we feel that for him, there are things he cannot really access through his hardware. Some modern sound, for example, you have very modern sounds on the computer. A product like Serum or Pigments or Massive are offering a very, let's say, chemical or modern sound set. While on gear, digital keyboards, you will not necessarily find that. And on digital keyboards, you won't have access to all the synthesis techniques you can find on the computer as well. Most of the time, it's sample playback.
Mm-hmm.
While you will have, granular synthesis or virtual analog, you will have physical modeling, etc., wavetables on the computer. There are, I think, over 26,000 plugins now. So, for sure, you can do a lot of things on the computer.
Yeah.
And you can also access all those sounds, in a sense, more easily. You have ways to trigger sounds by types, by sound designers, by engine like Minimoog, etc. Something you cannot necessarily do on hardware. So we feel there's really a growing gap between the producer on the computer and the performer on stage, with more, leaning toward a sort of older parting, to use the same word we were using at the start of the company. And we thought we could do something about that. So we are introducing this product called Astrolab, which is a 61-key keyboard, very, very easy to use, because this is another problem you're facing when you are buying a stage keyboard. It can be quite hard to operate. Well, on the computer, you have very easy-to-use solutions, mm-hmm. like Output Arcade, for example, or many like that. So we thought we will try to bring something more simple, offering a modern sound set, more sounds, easily accessible, so you have a great way to browse and look for sound. And you can alter those sounds because they're modeled. They are really based on our engine, so you've got physical modeling, you know, subtractive synthesis, you've got additive, you've got granular. So again, very modern stage keyboard with modern sounds, but also all your sort of bread and butter sounds. So you've got electric pianos, you've got the B3 organs, you've got the Wurlitzer as well, you've got true pianos, you know, upstrate, etc., etc. And again, very, very modern sound too. In a very, again, easy to use, I believe, keyboard, coming along an app on the iPhone and a piece of software, which is an Analog Lab.
Nice. We didn't talk about the other keyboards and things, which maybe we'll circle back around on, but I'm really excited about this idea of being able to take all of that technology that we take for granted in the computer and have it on stage and have it again be a performance medium.
Exactly.
For creating your music in a live setting.
Exactly, because one of the key issues musicians face is that they, you know, produce on their computer. It's so easy, it's so powerful, but then they need to go on stage. So how do you bring these sounds that you made maybe, I don't know, on the CS-ADV on stage, on board a digital keyboard? So you have to sample it, but then you lose a bit of the flexibility to alter the sound, to tweak the sound, and that's a big problem. So this gap between, again, production and performance is something we're trying to address with this product and bringing in this Astrolab a lot of the technologies we've worked on for, you know, 20 years now. So it's right. 20 years in the making. There are over 30 engines, and those engines, again, being real instruments, again, pianos and, you know, synthesizer like the Juno or the ARP 2600, etc. And you've got all this, but we wanted to come with an easy-to-use interface. You know, it's so much power, and all the challenge was to catalyze that into something very hands-on and a very, again, intuitive UX for the user to embrace.
Yeah. How do you achieve that as far as designing the product goes? Do you start with, this is how we think it would be easy to use, now let's make the technology work behind that? Or does someone say, I've got this fantastic synthesizer engine, let's make a keyboard out of it?
Well, you know, it's a very good question. I mean, I think I wrote the first memo about this product maybe 12 or 14 years ago. This is also why I wanted to come here to Sweetwater to present it, because this is, you know, your key partner for us. Yeah, you've been a tremendous partner, actually, and you know, it will be interesting to get feedback from your sales engineer and you know, me coming here explaining why we were making this product. But to tell the truth, it's a lot of back and forth attempts. It's discussions within the team. It's different visions, challenge one after the other, and eventually you come down to one solution that you feel is going to work, and then you test it, you put it in front of users, and you hope it's going to work, and eventually you find out. But you know, even until the product's out, you don't necessarily know everything about how people are going to respond to it.
So there's always that little element of trial and error.
Exactly.
We'll see. So I think sometimes we have the image of there's a single mad scientist locked away in a dark room in the back that creates these products. Is it a whole team? How many people are on the team that creates a product like this?
On a product like that, it's around 12 people, but it devolves. It depends in the time of the project. But you've got one product manager, Pierre Pfister, who's been working on it for many years now. Then you have sound designers as well helping, and you've got a part of the product management team helping in sometime on specific things. I've been quite involved in this one because there is this attachment to the idea, and really I wanted to make sure Pierre and I were sharing the same vision. So I worked a lot with him on this project. And then you've got the developers. So there is a system team really working on embedding the right operating systems. And you've got an electronic group. You've got a little bit of mechanical design also. We have a small team in France. You have, you know, all the firmware. You've got to embed the software as well. So, and since it's working with the phone as well, it's a Wi-Fi and Bluetooth system, so you have to get that working well too. So, and then the team working on the iPhone app and so on. So it's quite a large team working on all this.
Very involved.
Yeah, exactly. And then when you are producing, you have to create your own testers for the factory. So you've got also, in Grenoble, we call that the MIT group, Mesure, Indication et Test, and that's a group working on building products to test our products in the factories.
One of the things that impressed me when I was at the factory is there's a lot of music there. I mean, everyone is very focused on, we're actually going to make music with these products. There certainly is a science-driven and a technology-driven side of it, but the end result is always in mind, at least everyone I talked to. That was really the impression that I came away with.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's a lot of passion, a lot of, you know, most of us, and that's true for many companies here as well, are musicians. So they are using the gear. They're talking about it at night, you know, when they have beers. It's hard to really separate work from passion. And eventually, yes, there is this feeling that it's going to be used. There's a lot of integration and work with the musicians themselves. You know, like I think a lot of other companies in this industry, we're lucky to have customers who are partners, really. They are so keen on having the right instrument that they're going to help and do whatever they can to help us figure out how to make it right. So that's helpful.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. You mentioned the passion, and that really comes through with all the products. And also, the other thing I wanted to circle back and mention is this isn't the first keyboard. This isn't the first synthesizer that Arturi has made either. I mean, you guys have been creating fantastic instruments for a number of years now.
Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, we've worked on the first one was the Origin, sort of digital modular synthesizer, very ambitious back in 2009. So that was already merging modules from our classic recreations. And it worked quite well. It's been approved and used by many musicians at this period. And then we moved on to doing analog synthesizers. So we had the Mini Brute. We have the Poly Brute now, which is our flagship. It's a $2,400 product. It's a very, very beautiful piece of hardware, and sounds really good. And yes, we've done several of these, and we enjoy that. We have the Microfreak, of course, which is our small hybrid. It's a digital set of engines, and then we've got the analog filter. We've got this specific keyboard, which is flat and allowing to have a bit more expressivity, and we have the Mini Freak as well now. So very also good, I think, synthesizer, which is really singular. It's a really unconventional sound, shall we say, where you have those quirky sounds. You can really go beyond traditional sounds with the Mini Freak. Pretty cool for that.
The Mini Freak and the Micro Freak, they're just so fun.
Yeah,
they're the kind of things that you can just sit down and start playing with them and come up with great sounds and just have a lot of fun with them.
Exactly. I mean, this is what we enjoy. Music should be fun. Playful is part of our values. I mean, this is how we started in life. We like to play, you know, since we were a child. So we don't want to give up on any of that. We want things to be playful. So we just enjoy ourselves.
Yeah. I'm sure you get asked, but I have to ask too. So when that first product came out, Storm came out, any idea that you would be today with all of these different offerings and all these different lanes?
No idea, for sure. I don't know who said that, but you know, someone mentioned, you know, first you do things and then you explain they were strategic.
Yeah. So
that's how it works.
Yeah, I meant to do that, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you trigger a way to connect the dots afterward.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess there's no other way to do it. You really can't. If you could foresee like that, that'd be a fantastic talent, but
exactly.
Not many of us can. So you mentioned the partnership between Sweetwater and Arturi, and of course that's a very important thing to us, that we are true partners with the manufacturers that we work with. And I want to just thank you for being here and sharing your insight and all of that with us, because that partnership is very important.
No, but thank you very much for having me. You know, the last time I came was, you know, many years ago. I was inspired by what I see, the way it works, the systems, the logistics, the approach toward customers, their true respect you have for musicians and your customers, the way you try to, you know, bring solutions to them to help them. And that, you know, in a genuine way, that was really inspiring. And, you know, this time I did not have much time yet to visit everything, but I will. And I'm sure I'm going to be amazed again by the way you work and the way you serve musicians. You help grow this industry, present our products in the best, you know, Mitch, you are really the champion for that. You're doing a lot for, you know, I'm sure helping people embrace music and helping companies get understood and get seen. So, you know, thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. Well, like I say, it's a great partnership, and that's what it's all about, sharing that passion for what we all love, that sound and that music.
Exactly.
So do you still play? Do you still get your violin out now and then?
I must say no, I don't. The violin is a very demanding instrument.
It sure is.
So, you know, my family is happy I'm not playing, but I'd like to get back to it one day. We always have yours. This is planned, but, you know, I want to get back to it.
Right,
sure.
Right. Well, we need the Arturi violin.
Yeah, that will be one, you know. You're right. I was there rolling the B chord in there. You know, there are things to do. You're right.
Yeah, there you go. A whole new direction.
Yeah, exactly. That's an idea.
Frederick, such a pleasure to have you here.
Yeah, thank
thanks
you
for
very
stopping
much.
By and sitting down with us, and congratulations on the success of the company and all the fantastic things you're doing. I really can't wait to see what's next. I mean, it's just so many exciting things coming from Arturia.
So do I. Thank you very much, Mitch. Thank you very
my
much.
Pleasure.
Take care.
I hope you enjoyed this installment of the Plugged In Podcast by Sweetwater. Our thanks to Frederick Brun from Arturia for making the long trip from France to be with us today. To learn more about the brand new Astrolab keyboard and all of Arturia's great musical instruments and tools, visit Sweetwater.com or reach out to your Sweetwater sales engineer for complete information. Thanks again for joining us today. This has been the Plugged In Podcast by Sweetwater, and I'm Mitch Gallagher.